For today's growth points, I'd like to speak to you for a few moments about the subject of the Laodicean church. And in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, the Lord is very clear to identify this church as a church that is neither hot nor cold, but is lukewarm. Now, you'll have to do your own study on the churches of Asia Minor. Most Bible students believe that each of them not only had certain characteristics that were of note, either for good or bad, in their first century context, but that they also represent periods of church history throughout the years to come, and that the Laodicean church is a reflection upon the current state of affairs in church life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a church that reflects the Laodicean church in any way. And when we think about the etymology of the word Laodicea, the word means the church of the people's rights. In fact, Jesus referred to it as the church of the Laodiceans. It was not referred to as the church of Jesus at Laodicea. It was the church of the people's rights. If there's a theme that I see recurring in the modern day church, the seeker church, the hipster church, whatever you want to call it, it is the theme of, I want my rights. I want the right to drink. I want the right to party. I want the right to watch whatever movie I want. I want the right to go to church or not go to church. There is an emphasis today on, I want my rights. That attitude is sometimes seeping into the hearts of young Bible-believing biblical Baptists who are influenced by those who are in the I want my rights movement. And yet, I believe that as a mature Christian, it's not all about rights, it's all about responsibility. And it's not all about the excess of liberty or the excess use of liberty, though we are granted liberty in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 and also in the book of Galatians. We understand that we have liberty, but the mature Christian isn't always emphasizing the use of that liberty. He's also emphasizing the responsibilities and privileges of Christian living and leadership. And so I believe it's time that we acknowledge there is a Laodicean church. It is a church of the people's rights. It is the church that is immature in its expressions of liberty, and it exists today. And while we are advocates of having a right spirit and being thankful for the good things happening in other churches and movements, we cannot deny that the Laodicean effect is happening in every circle today. Now, Jesus has concerns for this church, and when he speaks to them in verse 14, he speaks to them as a loving Savior, concerned for the fact that they are, in verse 15, neither hot nor cold, but that they are lukewarm. I want to give you a few characteristics of what I believe to be the lukewarm condition that Jesus saw and that Jesus sees. I believe, first of all, there's lukewarmness when there is a lack of appetite for the Word of God. The Bible commands us, 1 Peter 2:2, that we are to desire the Word of God, the milk of the Word, as a newborn babe. And I see in many of these churches a lessening desire for the Word of God. It's basically a Sunday morning service and maybe a midweek home study where there's a lot of things discussed that are not necessarily rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you have a generation that's being raised on a sermon a week. I'll not get into the evaluation of those sermons. Let's just assume they're great sermons. I just don't believe that applies when we read the scriptural admonition, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think our people need the word of God today, and they don't need less and less. They need more and more. And so the loss of appetite for the Word of God is a concern to me, and it ought to be a concern to any pastor or parent or serious Christian today. The second characteristic of a lukewarm church, I believe, is the lessening of doctrine. The emphasis on relationships, on psychology, on issues, but not on the Word of God. The Bible commands us to preach the Word. The Bible commands us to rightly divide the Word of truth. And it's very important that we recognize 1 Corinthians 1:21, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. And with this lessening of doctrine, there's a lessening of doctrinal preaching. And we need to get back to preaching the Word of God And we should not be ashamed of calling people to a church that is a church with a strong appetite for the Word and a strong appetite for the doctrine of the Word. The third characteristic of these lukewarm Laodicean churches is that there is a lapse of conviction in these churches. The doctrines of personal holiness, the doctrines of ecclesiastical separation, are real. They are biblical. God has called us to be holy. He has called us unto Himself. He has called us, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, not to be conformed to the world. And I understand what it is to use technologies and to be innovative in methodologies. And I think sometimes we need to have a gracious spirit towards one another with respect to those types of things. But I'm not talking about some technology here. When I talk about the areas of personal convictions, I'm talking about just bringing flat-out rock and roll music into the church, or women in miniskirts on the stage, or guys that are just rocking out or telling dirty jokes. It's common in many of these churches. It's a culture that is a club culture and not a church culture. And so while I would be the first to say to a young biblical Baptist, hey, you have liberty to have a little different architecture or different service format or things the Lord's laying on your heart, I would also caution that we want to be careful to have a distinctive church that is Christ-honoring. And in the personal separation that we are willing, even if it means we're viewed upon as square, we're willing to preach that God is holy and that God's people are to be holy, that they're to be modest, that they're to come out and live a separate life. If we don't take that stand in church, I want you to tell me, where are people going to hear that truth? And then on the ecclesiastical side, the Bible's clear in many different phrases. I love 1 Corinthians 10, where it says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. This idea that you can kind of be a little New Age and a little Christian, this idea that you can give credence to all faiths, as, say, Robert Schuller tried over and over again by having, you know, imams and spiritualists and Baptists and everybody else to his pulpit. And a lot of the thought that comes out of Fuller Seminary, where a lot of these men trained, was very ecumenical. And it essentially said, you can drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And the Bible is very clear, come out and be separate. And the lukewarm church doesn't get that. And we need to recognize that the call of God on His church is to come out and to be a godly and to be a holy church. July 27th, 2012, at the High Point Church in Arlington, Texas, there was a conference called Under God, Indivisible. There were pastors, priests, rabbis, business leaders, all of them speaking about the need for spiritual awakening in America. And the music for that ecumenical meeting was provided by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, which I believe is a contemporary Christian group. And any group that knows the doctrine of the Word of God is not going to perform where we have Kenneth Copeland and where we have rabbis and other such speakers present. And the Bible's clear, come out and be separate. But the Laodicean church doesn't get it. And the average consumer who loves the flow and the feel of these types of either musicians or gatherings is caught up in a spirit that could lead them to apostasy. And so I believe that we must recognize that there is such a thing as a Laodicean church, and that we must take the stand in this day to give a clear sound, not an uncertain sound, for the generations coming behind us. Those are my thoughts. Have a great day. God bless you.